Well, I got a word of encouragement for you today. And yesterday, June 21st, 2009, was the celebration of a national holiday called Father's Day. And we're kind of still in that same spirit, so I'm kind of going to tailgate on Father's Day yesterday and kind of share an encouraging message with you guys today. And it's called Our Awesome Father. Our Awesome Father. And you know, when some of you think about Father's Day, and when it comes around once a year, for some of you, it's a joyous occasion. You've got really good memories of your dad. Your dad was a good man. He poured into your life. He gave to you. He taught you in godly ways as well as he could. And so you've got really fond memories of your earthly dad. And maybe yesterday some of you were looking forward to contacting him on the phone and talking with him. Or maybe during the week some of you wrote him a note or a card. And maybe some of you just spent time with your dad yesterday if he's still alive. And so you've got really good memories of your dad. But maybe for some of you here today, your memories of your earthly dad are not the best. Maybe he was not the man he should have been. Maybe he abandoned you as a young child. Maybe he was not there for you. You know, maybe he abused you in something he said or he did and just made you feel about this small. And maybe he down-talked you, made you feel like you were an accident going somewhere to happen, that you would never amount to anything. And you know what? Let me tell you something today, friend. Jesus said in John 8 that the devil is a liar and the father of lies. And so if your earthly dad spoke those demeaning words into your life, he was being inspired by the father of lies. God loves you so very much. And, you know, some talk about the father wound. And today some of you here may be experiencing a wound that your father caused on the inside of you through some type of abuse, emotional, verbal, in some way. And it's there, and your dad is deceased now, and you never got to talk with your dad before he died, and maybe you never reconciled with him, and you still have that wounding on the inside, that emotional wound. Or maybe your dad is still alive today, and you're not talking to him because of how he hurt you so deeply. And friend, my word of encouragement to you today is that if you have a father wound on the inside in your emotions based on something your dad said or did, I encourage you to cover it with a healing balm of forgiveness. Release him of the debt he owes you. I was listening to a message on my computer by a teacher this past week, and he said that forgiveness is a choice of the will. And I'll put it this way to you. Offenses are inevitable. In other words, offenses will come. But forgiveness is an option. It's a choice. And so forgiveness is a choice of your will. You've got to decide on the inside that you are going to forgive your dad for the hurt he caused you. But forgiveness is also done with the emotions. You'll know that you've forgiven your dad because when you think back to maybe what he did to you in the past that wasn't good, if the feelings, the hurt feelings are gone and they're not there anymore, that's a good indicator in your emotions that you have forgiven your dad. So forgiveness is a process of doing it with your will and with your emotions. You know, and God will give you the strength, and you may get weak at times saying, God, I don't know how I can deal with this father wound, this hurt that my dad caused me. God, you give me your grace and your strength to forgive my earthly dad. And friends, I'm here to tell you today that God will give you his strength and his grace to forgive your dad. And if you take anything from this message today, take this. Don't ever superimpose on God negative feelings you may have had or you do have toward your earthly dad. Let me say that again. Don't ever superimpose on our Heavenly Father the negative feelings you may have toward your earthly father. In other words, don't compare God, the Father, to your earthly father, if your earthly father was not the man, was not the godly example that he should have been. Because our Heavenly Father is so far above our earthly dads. And that's what our earthly dads were. They were earthly. They were human. And human beings are what? Human beings are imperfect. They mess up. You know, our dads are like you and I. Imperfect. You know, messing up in things that we say and do at times. And there's only one that is perfect. It's God and Jesus Christ. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 51:5, he said, I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Our dads, our earthly dads, were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. So let's have some grace in dealing with them, in forgiving them. You know, when you think back to your dad, you may get some memories. Maybe your dad, as you were growing up, instilled feelings of fear and intimidation into your life. And so when you think of your heavenly Father now, you think, well, is God the same way? Does he instill fear? No. The only fear that God requires of us is respect and reverence for him. What does his word say? His word says, "Be ye therefore holy, as I, the Lord your God, am holy." God is not a God of fear. He is a God of faith. Faith is the opposite of fear. Faith is what pleases God. Faith is what causes the miracle of God to become real in your life. So never compare God to your earthly dad if your earthly dad instilled negative fear and intimidation into your life. God is not that way. He's a loving God. Maybe when you think of your earthly dad, friends, you remember him to be hateful and mean towards you. Maybe your dad was the type of man that said, "Son, three strikes and you are out. Daughter, three strikes with me and you're out. And if you mess up again, I'm pulling my love from you." Friends, that's not the way God is. It's not three strikes and you're out with God, right? God is the God of a third chance. He's the God of a fourth chance. He's the God of a fifth chance. He's the God of a sixth chance. He is the God of endless chances. Why is that? Because the psalmist writes in Psalm 103 verse 8 that God is abounding in love. And it says in Psalm 100 verse 5 that his mercies, his love, they endure forever. His mercies are everlasting. It's not three strikes and you're out with God. He is the God who is gracious and does not give up on you and me. Now that doesn't go to say that, since you know that God is so gracious, that doesn't go to say that you can go into a sinful situation and think to yourself, "Well, you know what, I'm going to sin and then ask God for his forgiveness because he's the God of so many chances." It's not to say that. Because if you approach God that way, you're cheapening his grace. You're taking advantage of the grace of God. You see, does that make sense? But you need to pray, "God, I'm dealing with this weakness. God, I'm dealing with this sin in my life, and I'm attempting with your help to be holy, God, as you are holy." But if you slip into that sin and into that weakness, God's grace will cover you. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we confess our sins to him. Amen? Amen. So he's the God of many chances. He never gives up on us. I received this email some time back, and I think it applies to this part of the message. It's called "The Scars of Life." Some years ago, on a hot summer day in South Florida, a little boy decided to go for a swim in the old swimming hole behind his house. In a hurry to dive into the cool water, he ran out the back door, leaving behind shoes, socks, and shirt as he went. He flew into the water, not realizing that as he swam toward the middle of the lake, an alligator was swimming toward the shore. His father, working in the yard, saw the two as they got closer and closer together. In utter fear, he ran toward the water, yelling to his son as loudly as he could. Hearing his voice, the little boy became alarmed and made a U-turn to swim to his father. It was too late. Just as he reached his father, the alligator reached him. From the dock, the father grabbed his little boy by the arms just as the alligator snatched his legs. That began an incredible tug of war between the two. The alligator was much stronger than the father, but the father was much too passionate to let go. A farmer happened to drive by, heard the screams, raced from his truck, took aim, and shot the alligator. Remarkably, after weeks and weeks in the hospital, the little boy survived. His legs were extremely scarred by the vicious attack of the animal. And on his arms were deep scratches where his father's fingernails dug into his flesh in his effort to hang on to the son he loved. The newspaper reporter who interviewed the boy after the trauma asked if he would show him his scars. The boy lifted his pant legs, and then with obvious pride, he said to the reporter, "But look at my arms. I have great scars on my arms too. I have them because my dad would not let me go." You and I can identify with that little boy. We have scars too. No, not from an alligator, but the scars of a painful past. Some of those scars are unsightly and have caused us deep regret. But some wounds, my friend, are because God has refused to let you go. In the midst of your struggle, he's been there holding on to you. The scripture teaches that God loves you. You are a child of God. He wants to protect you and provide for you in every way, but sometimes we foolishly wade into dangerous situations, not knowing what lies ahead. The swimming hole of life is filled with peril, and we forget that the enemy is waiting to attack. That's when the tug of war begins, and if you have the scars of his love on your arms, be very, very grateful. He did not and will not ever let you go. Friend, God never gives up on us. Your earthly dad may have given up on you. He may have turned his back on you, but God never does. The Word of God says that God will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. He is always there for us. In Luke 15, it talks about the account of the prodigal son. Basically, he said to his dad, he said, "Dad, give me my inheritance now before you die." It was like he was telling his dad, "Dad, I wish you were dead." And his dad gave him the inheritance. And through a series of events, you can read it in Luke 15, he finds himself eating with the pigs. And he says, "I'm going to go back to my dad." And he goes back to his dad, and his dad receives him with open arms. He throws a party for this son who was lost and now was found. The father of the prodigal son represents God the Father. He never gives up on us, just like that father did not give up on his prodigal son. Amen? Amen. God loves you so very much, and don't forget it. You know, how is God's love demonstrated? How is love most effectively demonstrated? How is love most strongly, poignantly demonstrated?
St. John 3:16, and I'll give it to you in the Amplified.
You got it.
"For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten, unique Son, that whosoever believes in, relies on, clings to, and trusts in him shall not perish, fall into temptation, be lost, but have everlasting, eternal life."
Awesome. Tim is a walking Bible. That's good. All right. Love is demonstrated, expressed in giving. 2,000 years ago, as John 3:16 says, God did what? He gave his only begotten Son to die upon a cross for our sins so that we would not have to die in hell forever. That's how much God loves us. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. You know, your earthly dad may not have loved you. He may have been hateful, but don't compare God to that. God loves you so very much with an everlasting love. Now, when you think of your earthly dad, another memory that may come across your mind is this, is that maybe your dad never did or said anything good to you. And so you might be wondering today, I wonder if my heavenly Father has anything good in store for me. Is his will good for my life? Yes, it is, friend. Did you know that God knows every single thing that concerns you? The big as well as the small. Every single hair on your head is numbered by God. Everything that you're going through, God knows about it. And he's got a miracle in store for your life. I'm going to read this other email. It's called Caller ID. It kind of shares how God is always thinking about us. Isn't it amazing how God works in our lives? On a Saturday night several weeks ago, this pastor was working late and decided to call his wife before he left home for home. It was about 10 p.m., but his wife didn't answer the phone. The pastor let the phone ring many times. He thought it was odd that she didn't answer, but decided to wrap up a few things and try again in a few minutes. When he tried again, she answered right away. He asked her why she had not answered before, and she said that it had not rung in their house. They brushed it off as a fluke and went on their merry ways. The following Monday, the pastor received a call at the church office, which was the phone that he had used that Saturday night. The man that he spoke with wanted to know why he had called on Saturday night. The pastor couldn't figure out what the man was talking about. Then the man said, "It rang and rang, but I did not answer." The pastor remembered the mishap and apologized for disturbing him, explaining that he'd intended to call his wife. So you get the picture here, right? The man said, "That's okay, let me tell you my story. You see, I was planning to commit suicide on Saturday night, but before I did, I prayed. God, if you're there and don't want me to do this, give me a sign now." At that point, my phone started to ring. I looked at the caller ID and it said, Almighty God. I was afraid to answer. The reason why it showed on the man's caller ID that the call came from Almighty God is because the church that the pastor attends is called Almighty God Tabernacle. Isn't that amazing? God knew exactly what that man who was about to commit suicide was going through. He knew what he was thinking. And God stepped in and performed a miracle through a mishap. And friend, God knows what you're thinking. You're on the heart of God. You're on the mind of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He sent a miracle across the path of this suicidal man. And God is about to send a miracle across your path. He's a good God. He's thinking about you. Everything that concerns you, that worries you, the big things, as well as the very small, concern the heart of God. God is good. He's got something good in store for you. His will for you is good. Your earthly dad may not have been good toward you, but God is. What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7:11? He said, if you then being evil or having the sin nature know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? Friends, God is the giver of good gifts. Speak it to yourself when you wake up in the morning. You look at yourself in the mirror. Say, God, I know that you are the giver of good gifts. And you're going to give me something good today. Speak it to yourself over and over and over, and you will begin to believe what you speak over yourself deep down on the inside. What does James write in James 1:17? If you got a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. James 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. What does it say? Every good and perfect bad gift is from above? No. The Word of God says every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And your dad might have changed. He might have been maybe nice to you at times, and then he was bad the next day. Maybe good to you every so often, and then really bad to you. Shifting like a shadow. Not consistent, but not Father God. Father God is the total opposite. He is consistent in His love for you. He is consistent in His mercy and His compassion for you. His will is to do something good with your life. Friend, I'm here to tell you today that there is potential locked up on the inside of you that God will bring forth by faith in Him. There is destiny on the inside of you. There is purpose on the inside of you. You are not an accident going somewhere to happen. God wants to do something wonderful with your life. You've got to believe that God has got something good for you. You've got to believe it with all of your heart and not doubt it even for a moment. Because all good things come from God. Say it with me today. God, I believe that all good things come from you. And your will for my life is good. In Jesus' name. Friend, you know, God has got a great plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God has got a future for your life. You may be at the end of your rope. You may be at the end of your hope. But God is about to renew hope in your life. He's about to bring about a miracle for you. Because He is a good God. All He's looking for is trust and faith in Him. What is it that pleases God? The Bible tells us. Hebrews 11:6, it's faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because he who comes to God must believe that God exists and is a rewarder of those who diligently, not every so often, but who diligently seek Him. Amen? God has got something good to you. I've said this before, and it bears repeating. that God is not obligated to bless anyone who is living in rebellion to Him. What does the rebellious attitude say? It says this: God, this is my life. I do with my life what I want to do with it. Stay out of my life. This is my life. I'm in control of my own life. I want to sit in the driver's seat of my life. I want the steering wheel of my life. That's rebellion.
Yeah.
There's someone else who wants the steering wheel of your life. And who is that? It's God. Jesus Christ wants to drive. He doesn't want to drive you, but He wants to take full control of your life. Lead, guide, and direct you. Amen?
Amen.
He wants to be in full control. And so the first way to surrender to God, to surrender to Christ, is to say, Jesus, I place my life into your hands. I know you're a good God. I place my life into your hands, Jesus. I put my faith and my trust in you. Be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life. And I tell you, if you give Jesus Christ, if you give God full charge of every part of your life, if you give Him the steering wheel of your life, He will lavish His love upon you. He will show you what a good God He is. He will bless you. He will bring about a miracle in your life. Do you believe that today?
Amen.
Amen. God is so good. And the first step, friend, is up to you. God requires nothing of you except one thing: your heart. Your full surrender. Giving it all up to Him. Having Him in control of your emotions, your spirit, your mind, what you do with your body, your relationships, and your finances. Giving Him full control of every part of your life. God loves faith. He's looking for faith. Amen.